An evening of lively, smart conversation and jazz. Join me, John Williams, for a live taping of the Mincing Rascals podcast, Robert's Pizza, and Jazz, Wednesday, June 12th, 6 to 8 at Winter's Jazz Club in Streeterville. Tickets at WGNRadio.com/rascals.
Eric Zorn joins us now. He's the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. That's a weekly newsletter you can get for free if you email ericzorn@gmail.com. Pay a small premium. You get the even better version of it. And Eric is, of course, the grandfather of, the reigning voice on the Mincing Rascals podcast, which we'll cut tomorrow. We've had some pretty good episodes of late, and it's always good to hear you. Eric, how are you?
The grandfather, huh? That's my
No, I'll strike that from the record. The something or another. What would it be? Sort of the, you know, the patriarch of it.
Definitely a founding. You and I are founding members.
Founding father. How about that? Yeah, that's kind of what I was leaning into.
I'll take that. I'll take that. Anyway, yeah. So it's interesting. It's election day here in the big city.
Before we dive into your thoughts about it, and I guess mine too, at Joe Clark Chicago tweeted, "My daughter went with my wife to the polls today, and they gave her, the daughter, a special Chicago-themed ballot for kids. I didn't know they did this. I voted today, didn't have a kid with me, so I didn't get that option. I don't know if they had that at my precinct, but President of the United States, the kids could vote for either Abraham Lincoln or Adlai Stevenson." On the referenda, the questions were, should pineapple be an ingredient on pizza, yes or no? In this ballot, the kid voted no. Should ketchup ever be served on hot dogs? I don't know how the child voted on that one, but the answer should be no. And pineapple should not be an ingredient on pizza. Although I have had it before, and I hate to say this, it was awesome. But it still just seems wrong. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. I voted today, Eric.
I'd never heard of that idea, but I really like it. I like the idea of getting kids involved in just the idea of going to the polls and voting. And I wonder if they're going to report those results.
They should.
Somewhere.
They should.
Yeah. It's just because, I mean, you know, there was this event last week where they tried to get high school seniors to go to the polls. You know, that was a controversy when I talked about it last week, where the teachers union had a big get out the vote rally, and there was a real question as to whether they were actually just trying to plump for the Bring Chicago Home referendum about increasing the real estate transfer tax. And I have no problem with the idea of getting high school students excited about voting and going to the polls and being part of the process. It seemed like a little bit partisan, but I love the idea of just having kids show up and giving them things to vote on.
Okay, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about the CTU shenanigans there, because I love the idea of every kid who's 18 in a Chicago public school getting on a bus and driving them to a polling place or opening up voting booths at the school and getting them out of class and letting them vote. If it was done in a nonpartisan, educational way, it's to me no different than rounding up the senior citizens at the nursing home and driving them over to the place and encouraging them to vote. We 100% ought to do that. There's plenty of people who are that way captive, who we could capture and give the opportunity to vote. And they don't have to vote if they don't want to. But I say take the kids out of school, put them on a bus, and say, you, vote. You don't have to, but there's the pen. Mark something if you so choose to. I mean, really kind of put their nose in it. But the way the CTU handled it, or tried to influence the vote, put their finger on the scale for this initiative you talked about, the increase of the tax on title transfers, I think was just bald-faced bad. There was nothing unbiased about it. Do you agree with me on that?
Oh, I totally agree with you on that. And I think that the event as it came off was a lot less biased than the event that they had planned, because people in the news media, starting with our friend Austin Berg, part of the Mincing Rascals podcast team, who I think was the first one to publicize this letter that had gone out to Chicago teachers, that a lot of local media made a big deal of this, and I think they toned it down quite a bit. The reporting that I saw from the event itself, I was out of town, but I heard that that it was that the the promotion of the referendum was pretty modest, if anything. They just wanted to expose the kids to some candidates and some speeches and so on. And again, I think that's a great idea, and I think that it should be run by the Chicago Public Schools, not by the teachers' union. The teachers' union is a very political body, and whether you love their politics or don't like their politics, I hope we can agree that they should not be the ones convening such an event. It should be done by the public schools. And maybe there should be a lot of buy-in from the private school.
Imagine if there was a gun initiative on the ballot and the NRA was rounding up students and giving them a civics lesson about it and said, now go in there, kids, and vote. Don't you think that that might color the vote, the thoughts of the kids as they go in? It's like having a sign right there at the polling place. You're supposed to keep the signs away from where people go to vote. This is even more heavy-handed than that.
Exactly. There was one part of the letter that went out to the teachers saying, remember how confusing it is? You hear all these messages and you're going to the polls. Well, we're trying to alleviate that confusion.
Yeah.
And my response to that is like, well, that's what the campaign season, the political season is like. You get all these things in your mailbox and on TV every day, and there are all these conflicting messages. And it's up to you as a citizen, as a voter, to sort those out and decide which ones make sense to you, which ones turn you off, which ones turn you on, and then make a decision. That it's not, democracy is not easy necessarily. That you don't have a simple choice. And sometimes it feels very simple. I believe that this fall, this November, the presidential choice is going to seem very simple to most of us. There are other races that seem much less simple. And as I'm always reminded, I didn't even vote in the mayoral race a year ago because I couldn't vote for either of those guys. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to remind people what that means. You're the weirdest guy there is. You went out of your way to get in your car, drive over to your polling place. Maybe you walked. You walked up to the thing. You took the ballot, and then you stood there. You breathed on it, and then you gave it back to them. And they said, sir, you didn't vote. And you said, yes, I know. I can't vote for either of them. And then they run your thing through. It registers no vote. You felt that was your civic responsibility to at least show up and participate, but your participation was no vote.
I wasn't positive I was going to do that before I got to the polls. I did walk over there, and I didn't make quite the dramatic speech. That would have been like in the movie version
yes.
of my life. That's what will happen.
Tell the story the way I told it. It's better.
And then I ripped off my shirt and anyway, I looked at the ballot. I didn't know who I was going to vote for. I looked at the choices. I thought about it some more. And finally I said, I just can't support either of these guys.
Okay.
I don't think either of them is going to be
okay,
a good mayor.
Hold on. So Brandon Johnson wins. And one of the things he ran on was this Bring Chicago Home initiative, create a revenue stream for the poor and the homeless in the city, maybe $100 million, and we'll do it on taxing what he describes as mansions, properties over $1 million and $1.5 million, residential and commercial. Do you think that that initiative is going to pass?
I do. I think it's going to pass. I think that the people who are supporting that referendum are more organized than people who are opposed to it. There are organized people on both sides. I think they've got a much better ground game. And that's where I think that's what.
How much do you think is known by the outcome of that? I think you're probably right about that. So I wonder if we know, is that going to doom our city, or in fact, is that going to have a positive effect?
I don't think we know. I don't think it's going to doom our city, and I think that the positive effect is going to be somewhat minimal. They're talking about $100 million a year, which is probably high as a rate of return on this proposed initiative. And I don't think it's going to ruin things. I have suspicions that it's going to be as bad as Crane's and the Sun-Times and the Tribune say it's going to be. Although I do have hopes that they're going to be able to use that money to provide more affordable housing. But, you know, some of the rhetoric around this, you know, this is going to help bring 68,000 homeless people a place to live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, that's, you know, the number of people who without, you know, the unhoused is much lower than that. Actually, the number every night is, you know, it's
6,000 or 7,000.
Sure. But it's not 68,000. And you were not going to begin to provide homes for all these people. But to make a dent in that, I'm hoping that it works.
Okay.
What's that?
Do you think that it feels a little in a reverse sort of way like what happened with the Safety Act, where we were told by state's attorneys around Chicagoland that if this passes, the gates will fling open and the criminals will run out and they'll commit crimes and mayhem will ensue. And of course, nothing like that happened. I wonder if the converse of that is true. That is, it won't be as bad as the naysayers are saying. I would be happy if, you know, it was sort of a meh moment where, okay, it's another nuisance tax. People are willing to pay it. It's baked into the business in Chicago, as happened in New York City, say. But it's not going to solve the problem either.
It's not going to solve the problem, but it's also not going to be that big a deal. It is true that this is a one-time transaction tax that you pay. It's not like an annual penalty that you're paying or anything like that. It's going to be baked into the price of purchasing a new building, and it's going to probably be folded right into the mortgage. So it's going to increase your mortgage payments so that you may end up seeing slight increases in rent. I don't know how big that increase is going to be, but that's clearly the risk. It seemed to me that it's too low, that the 1 million threshold is kind of low. If you really want to hit high-end properties, you want to go higher than that. I think that's what Los Angeles did.
And maybe they could do that. This referendum enables the city council to do it, but Eric, am I wrong? They could say the threshold's 2 million or 10 million if they want, right?
I believe they could, yes. I know that, the language in the referendum is fairly specific. A question that I have is, how many people are going to miss that referendum? It's on the second page, the back page,
the entirety
sheet, and you've got all these things. You're voting for, you know, the judges and everything like this, and then at the bottom it says turn the page over, and you turn it over, and that's where the referendum is. This big long language from the referendum, and I don't think anyone's going to read the whole thing. And you read some of it on the air, and listeners were falling asleep and driving off the road. I mean, it's so dull.
I find
it. And I'm wondering if people are going to miss it.
I find it comedic, actually, and angering, because there should be some Reader's Digest interpretation of that. We're talking with Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, the weekly newsletter with commentary, comedy, and more. EricZorn@gmail.com. Email him and he'll sign you up for it. But if 11% of the eligible voters vote in the city of Chicago in this primary, but in Chicago, the Republican ballot is pretty sparse. Really, this is the election for a lot of issues. State's attorney, your local and state representatives, even your congresspeople and some of the ballots, it's being determined today who those people will be with 11% voting, Eric.
Well, it could get a little higher than that, but it's pretty small. I mean, I think one reason is there isn't a very interesting presidential primary. Biden has already won enough delegates, and so is Trump to be nominated this summer at the convention. So there's no drama there. This is one of the years we don't have a U.S. Senate race. We, with both of our senators, Duckworth and Durbin, still have more time left on their terms. So there's not a race there. So the races are a little less dramatic. Contrast between Eileen O'Neill Burke and Clayton Harris, who are running for the Democratic nomination for Cook County State's Attorney, is not great. You know, every article I've read about it, every editorial has basically said they're kind of close to each other in most ways. So that's not one of those things like you feel like, well, the future of the city is at stake with that race. So I'm guessing there's a lot of races that, you know, the clerk of the circuit court. I mean, do people really care that much outside of the families of the candidates who are running? Who's going to be the clerk of the circuit court? It's not the kind of thing that gets you out of bed, unless you're someone like me, and I'm certain like you and 11% of the public and probably a lot of your listening audience who just vote. I mean, that's what I do. Every election, I go to the polls.
Easy to do, too. If you wanted to, in your neighborhood, meet lovely people with sensible haircuts, I might add, who are just very pleasant, go vote today. You walk in, they greet you. It's the whole process is accomplished in about 5 minutes, and it's consequential, but it's also just super, super simple. And frankly, it's a pleasant thing to do. At least that was my experience.
There are no lines today. Yeah, there are no lines to wait in today, which is a shame. Yeah, we were like, we had nice chats with our precinct workers, because we know them, they're neighbors, you know, so sat around. It wasn't like we were keeping them for anything. So,
well, yeah, that's unfortunate. I asked to see both ballots when I got up there. I said, I just want to see how the Republicans and Democrats have different options. And the difference, I think, was stark. Our friend Austin Berg, who's on the Mincing Rascals podcast with us on Wednesdays, the Mincing Rascals is one of the fine podcasts in this city. And he's with that organization called the Illinois Policy Institute, said today is election day. Which way are you voting on Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's $100 million real estate transfer tax increase, a.k.a. bring Chicago home? 92% said I'm voting no. 8% said I'm voting yes.
Well, these are Austin's followers.
Follow a guy from the Illinois Policy Institute, which is a progressive conservative organization. And,
progressive conservative, did you say?
That's what I call it. Yes, it's a new lean for me.
Well, they are socially fairly liberal and economically conservative.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I know John Catanzara, the controversial head of the Fraternal Order of Police Union locally, has urged Republicans to take a Democratic ballot in order to vote in this primary. That he says that the Republicans...
That's not such a crazy idea. If you want your vote to matter, grab a Democrat one. That's where the decisions are being made.
Right. And that will be... And he's back in the candidacy of Eileen O'Neill Burke in the state's attorney's race, who's thought to be the more law and order, more conservative of the two candidates. They're both Democrats, but he wants his Republican police officers to vote for Burke. I don't think that helped Burke necessarily.
Well, went out she disassociated herself with that. And then her challenger, Clayton Harris III, he said, I don't want his help either. Both of them said no thank you to John Catanzara. I thought that was funny. I'm out of time, but I did want to mention this, Eric. It says, hey, King John, voting for pineapple on pizza, good way to teach kids about democratic involvement. But then the class should get a pizza to enjoy based on the result. It may teach them to live with the majority decisions or vote against it the next time. Right. So if pineapple on pizza wins, that's what you all get. All right. We'll talk tomorrow, Eric. Thanks for your time today.
We'll hash over those results tomorrow. Yeah. Rascals.
Okay. We'll record that tomorrow, and you'll be able to listen to the full podcast tomorrow afternoon.